for something really good for you this morning. My sweet wife is going to be teaching today, and I'm going to brag on her and try not to embarrass her too much, but I do want to embarrass her a little bit. Mickey and I have been married 44 years. Yes, you're right. We were married in the fourth grade. And but I have four children, eight grandchildren, and day in and day out, I've seen her live the Christian life. And God has used her in so many ways in my life. One example I shared earlier where she just got real truthful with me, you know, and made me confront my values, what I was valuing, get my priorities right. And I could share so many other times, but the Lord has blessed me with her, blessed our children with her, and I believe blessed you with her as a leader in this house. Believe it or not, she graduated college with a K through 6 elementary teaching degree and was teaching fourth graders at the age of 20. She was a 20-year-old teaching 10-year-olds. She got a lot of her college in the summers before she graduated high school and dove in deep and got it done. And she's just that kind of person. She went on to get her master's in elementary education from UAB. And then when we went through a real rough time in our ministry and in our marriage, in that season of brokenness that we found ourselves in, she turned toward the Lord and realized nothing's wasted, went back to college, got a master's degree in professional counseling, and now for 11 years has been helping people day in and day out who are in crisis in their lives. And God has used her significantly in that way. So she's beginning to turn red up here, so I'll stop there. But I love you, sweetheart. I believe in you. I see Jesus in you. And so I welcome you to come up and teach the word this morning. Would you join me in welcoming my precious wife?
Thank you. Whoa. Thank you. I love you guys. It's such an honor to be a part of this church and people who are so loving, gracious, and amen and amen. Well, this is the third week that we've had on our series called Parent Power, Laying a Foundation for Your Child's Future. And, you know, thinking about teaching about parenting makes you a little humble because you know that you've made lots of mistakes. Most of us have made tons of mistakes as parents, but we learn through those, and God doesn't require perfection out of us as parents, but a heart to learn, a heart to serve, and so we're so grateful for that. I am anyway. Today we're going to talk specifically about raising emotionally and spiritually healthy kids. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians about the God of peace sanctifying you, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he introduced an idea that we have other places in scriptures that, you know, we're triune beings. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. And as parents, we have to address all of those. Certainly, you know, it might be a little easier in some ways for us to think, well, I know I'm going to feed them right. You know, I'm going to give them vegetables. And, you know, I remember when Andrew was born, I decided I'd make all my own baby food, you know, because it's no preservatives and all this stuff. And so physically, we sort of have some guidelines in our mind what makes for healthy kids. But the Bible also speaks to what we do in relation to their soul and their spirit. Spiritually is the most important part, but the soul has to do with the emotions and how you think, very important as well. Third John wrote, as a pastor person who's just pouring into people, and talked about how he prayed that they would prosper in all things and be in health as their soul prospers. So biblically, we have this idea that we are responsible for body, soul, and spirit. And as parents, it is a great challenge for us. You know, sometimes we say, well, kids don't come with an instruction book. You know, babies, you hear parents say that, well, they just didn't come with an instruction book, but really they did. The Word of God is your instruction book that gives you the guidelines for how you're going to raise your kids. It doesn't address every single thing, like what are they going to wear and what am I going to feed them and all this, but it addresses the principles of how to raise godly human beings in the world in which we live. So we're going to pull out some of those principles today. We're going to talk about five of them. And I was thinking about this, and I remember when I was pregnant for the first time with Andrew, who's our worship pastor, and some of you might not know, that's our oldest son, but wow, you know, all of a sudden everybody has advice for you. How many of you experience when you find out you're having a child, and I think particularly if it's your first child, everybody feels like they need to help you, and heaven knows I needed some help. I really had not even been around any children to amount to anything, but everybody has advice. I remember about a month into parenthood just being like, just leave me alone. Don't tell me anything else. Because one person would tell you one thing, somebody tell you something else, and you just, or it's just a little overwhelming. But it was a joy, it's a delight, it's hard, it's challenging, and pregnancy itself ought to just clue us in, right? Because it's like, everything changes. You can't sleep. You can't eat because you've got heartburn. You're stretched. You're, it costs a lot of money, and it just is just very challenging experience in so many ways. But God gives life, and when He gives a child to a parent, He promises to give you what you need to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He promises to equip you if you will turn to Him. Again, you won't be perfect. You won't get it all right, that's for sure. But God will be with you because He partners with us in the earth. And we are given the opportunity to raise up kids and send them out into the world like the Bible talks about, sending out those arrows that God has given you. So it's a very exciting privilege to be a parent and a grandparent. And as some of you are, you know, we talk about just being, it takes a tribe, it takes a village, it takes the whole community of faith. We have people who are now serving in the children's area, and they're in the nursery, and they're imparting into your kids. So it takes us all, but parents, the primary responsibility is on you. As a church, we will mentor them when they're here. We're going to have fun programs. They're going to get all this good stuff, but it's mostly on us as parents. In the day-to-day life, how will we raise our children to be emotionally and spiritually healthy? What does that look like? You know, it's also a challenge because they're all so different. So when Andrew was born, he was just a really pretty easy kid. He slept 22 out of 24 hours a day. This is true. He was just easygoing, easy personality, and, you know, rarely had to discipline him. And so, you know, feeling pretty good. I'm a pretty good parent here. And then our daughter was born. And she came into the world saying no. No, no. She was saying no by the time she was 9 months old. And I do it my way, I do it myself. I do it my way, I do it myself. So I quickly learned that parenting, you know, it changes. It confronts so much in us, whether it's our pride, you know, thinking we got it, we know how to do this. Our child, how many of you ever said, my child will never... You know, I might have been smart enough not to say it, but I probably thought it. You know, again, I remember when we moved to Memphis, and so we were living for the first time in something that didn't belong to us in an apartment, and Kara Beth was two, and she took a permanent marker and wrote all over the doors, you know. It's, you know, our children sometimes will put us to the test, but that gives us an opportunity to impart into them and to teach them and also to grow ourselves. So we're going to talk about five principles today for raising emotionally and spiritually healthy kids. And the first principle we're going to look at is to focus on progress, not perfection. And this goes for your children and for you as parents. You know, I did really have probably an unhealthy desire to be perfect. I read all the parenting books. You know, I had the big encyclopedias, and I would just look up everything, and I really wanted to do this right. I was convinced that, you know, Andrew, I remember carrying him around in the kitchen when he was just 4 or 5 months old, and I would be making tea, and I would be explaining to him all I'm doing because I want him to be smart, you know. So I'm teaching him all the time, and I'm explaining all this stuff, and we want to have a heart to parent well. We will not parent perfectly. And your children won't be perfect, although mine were pretty close. But I love this in Scripture, that we have permission to grow and not have to be perfect. Look what Paul said to the Philippians. He said, not that I've already attained. Now notice that this is the Apostle Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So we might say, we have some scripture where it talks about all that he knew and all of his training. He was a really smart guy who God radically changed and used. But Paul said he had not attained. And he was not already perfected. But he pressed on to lay hold for what Christ Jesus had laid hold of for him. So we find in Scripture this principle all the time that, thank the Lord, we can grow. We don't have to be perfect. We do our best. And with children, we also want to focus on this. They don't have to be perfect. We set them up to feel like a failure and also to be very critical of other people if we demand perfection out of them. So we need to think about progress, not perfection. Look at how they're growing. Look at how they're maturing. You know, that's the challenge before us is how do we raise them to eventually set them free to fly and be all that God has created them to be. So focusing on progress and not just perfection for us as parents and for our children. Again, I remember when we brought Andrew home that, first of all, it was very frustrating because we had never used a car seat before. And we had the car seat in the hospital room, and we couldn't figure out how to work it. You know, reading the instruction book, we were really stressed. We're about to bring this child home from the hospital. Finally get the car seat kind of put together and get it in the car, and it was 20 degrees coming home that night. It was in December. And on the way home, Eddie remembers that he'd forgotten to turn the heat up in the house. So he'd mostly been at the hospital for the last 4 days, and you had the heat turned down, and oh my goodness, we started stressing. And he was really stressed, you know, it's going to be too cold, he's going to get sick, and all this stuff. And we got home, he put 5 blankets on this baby. The 6-pound baby got 5 blankets on him. Thankfully, we did not kill him. The Lord was gracious in that. But we learn as we go. And God gives us grace for that. Grace upon grace upon grace for parenting. And we need to pair it with grace, grace for our children. You know, I remember a few highlights. As I was thinking about this message, I'm thinking, well, what are some of the, you know, stories from our kids? And, wow, there's so many with having 4 children. But, you know, I remember ER trips and broken bones, and I remember stitches and all this sort of stuff. But we also had a house fire one time. Nathan was very creative, you know, and he made this little tent over this box and over this chair, and he put a candle in it over the sheet. And we were actually gone. We weren't home when Carabeth was there with him. And so she calls us hysterical because the house is literally on fire. You know, and thank the Lord the firemen got there and put it out. But we had house fires. I remember actually knowing the poison control number by heart. So much. This is true. I could still quote it to you today. I was afraid if I called them one more time, they're going to turn me in because we have children who are just licking batteries and their skin is peeling off their lips and just all kind of stuff. So parenting is quite an adventure, and God is gracious and gives us lots of mercy and help. So when we're parenting, always think about maturing, think about growth, think about the big picture, not every little perfect moment, because you want your children to also have that grace mindset that God is with us, God is for us, God will help us, and we will grow together. So focus on progress, not perfection. Secondly, your growth will influence your child's growth. We are responsible as parents to grow spiritually, to grow emotionally. We need to walk with God so that our children can see that in our lives. That is going to be their number one influence above everything else. So you want them to see you read your Bible. You want them to see you pray. You want them to know that you pray with them. And the scripture in this Old Testament passage says in Deuteronomy 4:9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and their children after them. So we have a very clear admonition that we need to be very aware, keeping our eyes open and passing down legacy to our children. These are my God stories. This is what I've seen God do. This is how God answered prayer. This is what the Word says. And so we pass that down to our children and our children's children. And it's not a straight line of growth. Growing as a child does not look like that. It looks like, you know, but you start here and you grow, but there are lots of ups and downs, lots of ins and outs. And that's okay, because the overall direction is growing toward godliness, and that's what we want. So you will see your own weaknesses in your children, and that's very hard. Sometimes you'll see one of your kids do something, and you'll go, oh, that is me. That is me not at my best that I now see in my child. But you know, that allows us to let the Lord work on us and to talk to our children about it. We just have to be humble and say, you know, that's not the right behavior, or that's not the right attitude. And I know sometimes mom has had that same attitude, but I'm asking God to help me, and I'm asking him to help you as well. So your growth will influence greatly the growth of your child. And you need to walk with God so that your children will also walk with God. What if your emotional health is not good? If you have destructive emotions like uncontrolled anger or guilt or fear that is out of balance, or rejection and greed, and or you feel inferior, or you're depressed or anxious a lot. We all have emotions at times, but our emotional health also affects our children's emotional health. So we want to learn how to live by the Spirit. And this is one of the beautiful things that we have as believers that others don't have, is we have the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. And our emotions can be subjected to the Holy Spirit who controls those emotions. And emotions are not a bad thing. You know, kind of in the church throughout the years, emotions got a bad rap. And it's like, well, you just don't need to be emotional. But, you know, God gave us emotions. Jesus had lots of emotions. He went into the temple and so angry he turned the tables over. When Lazarus died, he wept. And the scripture actually says it's like sobbing uncontrollably. Jesus had very strong emotions, but they were always subjected to the Holy Spirit inside him. So it's okay for us to have emotions. We just need to learn how to use them. We don't want our emotions to be in charge. Because if our emotions are in charge, we become what we feel sometimes. And that might be good one day, bad another day. So emotions are subjected to the Holy Spirit. We also don't want our body to be in charge, because then we are just what we crave. You know, if we don't want to get up that day, and we just sleep till noon, but yet we should have been up doing things, and our body's in control instead of the Holy Spirit being in control. We all have areas we need to grow in, But this is the basic idea that the Holy Spirit inside you will give you what you need so that your emotions and your body are being controlled by God, by the Holy Spirit. And He uses your emotions. He'll use your body. He'll use the whole person you are to influence your child, to help them grow, to help them to be all God wants them to be. Spiritual health is very important. It's the most important part. So you need to have spiritual disciplines. Pray, read the Word, worship, be a part of a community of faith. Because these things influence what your children believe about life and what they believe about God. Proverbs 4:23 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it says to keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes all the issues of life. So we have an admonition that we need to guard over our own heart, over our own life, and be sure that we're walking with God and being healthy, because from out of that place comes everything that affects your life. So your growth will influence your child's growth. Thirdly, I want to encourage you, as we're talking about your parent power, to identify and instill core values in your children. Galatians 5 gives us a list of some core values. These are fruits of the Spirit, but they're also core values. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So you need to, as a family, say, who do we want our kids to be? What do we want them to value? What's important to us? You might add some other things to this list, like certainly honesty, togetherness, things that are important to your family. Then you want to be sure. The Bible tells us we need to be purposeful parents, that we're passing down who we want our kids to be. So talk about it. What are our core values? What do we want our kids, who we want them to be? What do we want them to value? Talk about things like what's integrity? What's our obligation to our neighbor? What's respectful behavior at church? What is that like? Instill these values. Talk about them with your kids. Just openly talk about them and instill them in your children. Talk about why you make certain kinds of decisions. Well, Eddie talked about an election coming up. We'll talk about that. I'm voting for this person because these are their values. I see this in them, and therefore I'm going to the polls and I'm going to vote. So we want to instill values into our children through our life experiences. We want to reinforce values. If you see your child being patient, then you can say, you know, I'm just so proud of you. I know that was hard, and, you know, you wanted to be impatient, but you were really patient with your brother. I appreciate that. That's a good value. So we're looking to instill these core values into our kids. I was talking to our daughter this morning. She called me, tell me Happy Mother's Day, and we were talking, and she was talking about my message today, and she was telling me that Solomon, their little about to be 3-year-old, had gotten on to his daddy. He used a slang word. It wasn't a curse word, but he just used a slang word. And he looked at him and said, and he has kind of a little funny voice, he said, "Daddy, that disrespectful to God. You should not say that. It was, she said, "Well, I guess some of the lessons are getting through. We're still working on sharing and some other things like that." But your kids will value, as a general rule, whatever you value. So be purposeful. Think about it. Identify them. Work toward it. Ask yourself, how can I teach my children self-control? How can I teach them patience? How can I teach them sharing? Another thing that I saw our daughter doing, and I've seen Anna Laura do it, and Andrew's, this idea of what our family, who our family is and what our family does. And I've seen them say this, in our family, we share. In our family, we take care of our possessions. In our family, we're kind to one another. I think it's a really powerful idea, because we're just telling our kids, these are our core values. And, you know, you may not be sharing right now, but this is who we are as a family, and this is what we do. And it gives them an identity of who you are as a family and what core values you expect to see in their life. And parents, that's up to you to instill those things. So the fourth point I want to make is take every opportunity to connect your child to God. You know, we have so much time with our children when they're born and all these years growing up, and we have great opportunities to tell them about God, who's God, and to connect them to God. Another Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy 6:6, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So all the time and all of your life, you're looking for ways to connect your kids to God. You're outside and you're looking at a flower and you say, God made that flower. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, God, for the flower. You can pray protection with your kids. If they're afraid, you can teach them, God is with us, and you don't have to be afraid, and you can pray with them. There are so many ways that we connect our kids to God, help them understand life is spiritual, and so we are working to connect them through worship. Bring them to church, folks. The Bible says that we are supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Bring them to church. We've got great programs for your kids here and things for them to do. You can pray with them, read the word with them. You know, the scripture that says train up a child, there's lots of scriptures that talk about training a child. And some of the words basically mean teach, admonish. Keep going over those points with them. Pour it into them. This is who God is. This is what, you know, what it looks like to serve God, what it looks like to value God. You can take those opportunities. Teach them scripture, to memorize scripture. That's rote memory, and that's important. And then as they grow, you will build more principles onto the rote memory. But teach them scriptures from an early age and teach them how to think like God thinks and like the Word teaches us. Teach them what God's doing in your life. You know, sometimes we don't bring kids in to maybe the decisions, and we can't bring them into everything, obviously, but sometimes there are things that we're going through or things we're learning that we need to invite our kids into and say, this is what God's doing in my life. This is where I see God right now. This is what God is teaching me. This is what God is showing me. Take those opportunities to connect your kids to God, because it's the most important job you will do out of all the other jobs that you might do, whether it's feeding them, clothing them, all that kind of stuff. The most important one is connecting them to God. Your role as a parent, you know, is so many things, but at the core, raising your child so that even when you're not there, they're still going to be interacting with God, looking to God, being, you know, knowing it's important to be obedient to God. This is our sacred duty as parents. And lastly, be aware of the enemy's strategies. This scripture in 2 Corinthians says, you know, let Satan take advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. The word devices can be translated schemes, strategies. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, you can just be sure that he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your legacy, your children, your grandchildren, because the enemy is full of hate and evil. But God will give us wisdom and how to raise them. We need to be aware of the devices of the enemy. One of the main things that you need to be aware of right now, parents and grandparents, is of electronic devices. Because there's anything evil in the world that is out there is available to your child on an electronic device. And that you can set up parental controls, and you should if you have children beyond, younger than a certain age. There should be parental controls on their phone. Controls over, there's one called Bark. That's a good parental control. But you don't need to hand your child an electronic device without watching them, without giving them limits on the electronic device. It can be fun just to hand it to them and say, "Whew, I'm taking a 30-minute nap." And sometimes that's okay, but we need to be watching because the enemy uses all that is available to children through electronic devices to show them things. I was talking to a parent recently who raised their child in church three times a week, instilling values in the home, doing all the good stuff. But through the phone, this young woman started watching TikTok videos about why she should not believe in God. Well, and the way TikTok works is whatever you watch, it's going to give you more of. So she started getting tons of 10 to 15 second videos about doubting God and why she shouldn't believe in God. And now here she is as a 16-year-old raised in a Christian home who's saying, "You know, I just don't know. I don't know if God's real. Here's what this person said." So parents, it is a big deal that you be aware of what's happening on electronic devices and have family rules. It's okay to say, "We're not having our devices at dinner. You will not carry your device into your room at night." I think until kids get to a certain age, they shouldn't have devices in their room when you can't watch them, because there's just too much things that they can get into. Scientists and studies tell us that a third of all children tell us that they feel unimportant when their parents are using their devices all the time. So you have to watch what message you're giving if you're constantly on your device. Also, we know that anxiety and depression are very much linked to social media. And that not only goes for children, but for parents as well. Because you're seeing, here is the perfect family. And here is this perfect scenario. And, you know, we all post our perfect stuff on there. But in real life, there's much more to life than whatever that perfect picture is that you choose to post. But children and teenagers are very impressionable. And when they're looking at that picture, they begin to feel discouraged and anxious. And depression and anxiety are very high. I think anxiety is at the very highest level it's ever been with children and teenagers. And a lot of it has to do with social media use. So parents, it's okay to say, matter of fact, it's not only okay, it's something you should do, to say, "Here are our limits. Here is when you can use that device, and here is when you can't." And have family rules. Well, there are other things that are strategies of the enemy. Obviously, busyness, overcommitting your life and your time and not having time to be able to connect with your kids. That's a device of the enemy. There can be so many things that the enemy uses to get to your children, but you need wisdom about that. Identity is such a huge deal in today's world. Parents, you need to tell your children who they are and who they are in Christ and what their identity is, and help them with identity and faith, because these are issues that the enemy will use as a strategy to take them out if we are not wise about his schemes. The good news is, as we think about all these parenting issues, is that God promises to help us. And that, again, we don't have to be perfect. And when we fail and we blow it, which we do, we can say, "Forgive me, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that." And sometimes even when they're grown, we need to go back and say, "You know, I remember this and I didn't do that right, I ask you to forgive me." Because then we're modeling humility, we're modeling forgiveness, which is very important. And God wants to use you. He wants to use our church. He wants to use our families to send people out into the world, young people out into the world, who know God, who know how to do exploits for God, who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He does that through you, parents, grandparents, community of faith. So we need to step up and accept the challenge that God has given us, knowing He will empower us. He will give us grace. He will strengthen us to have the power to be a godly parent. Well, I'm actually going to end. Eddie said I better not end too early. Sorry. It's Mother's Day, so I'm going to let you out early. But our altar teams are coming right now. And, you know, you may have something that's on your heart that doesn't have anything to do with families or parents. Maybe you need healing. Maybe there's something else going on. Some of you may be struggling because your children are away from the Lord, and, you know, you might be focusing too much on what you didn't do, or you know, we just need some grace from the Lord. You know, we can always continue to pray, no matter how old our kids are. We have power through our prayers as parents and grandparents as we partner with God. And we can be used to help turn their direction if they're headed in the wrong direction. So as you stand, whatever is on your heart today, whatever need, and we may need some more altar workers. We have some who are out today. You need someone to agree with you. You're coming to be a part of Grace House family, you need healing, whatever kind of ministry you might need today, these people are here to pray with you. So let's worship for a few moments, then we're going to release you and pray blessing over you today.